My heart has been on a song that we sing. Pretty much we sing it on Thursdays. I know we sang it on Sundays a few times, but if you want to look at your songbook, you can look, but you're going to have to keep your Bible handy also, because I'm going to go to the Bible a lot, so we're kind of going to do a little bit. Now, I'm a big guy of songs and singing. Now, I know I'm not probably the greatest singer that ever was upon this earth, but I don't think I'm off tune a whole lot, but I like the songs. And the song I want to look at today is song number 192. And I want to go through this. We're going to go through it verse by verse, and we're going to go through some Bible scriptures and everything. And we're going to look at these things, but it's been impressed upon me as we've been singing this, the words that are in this song. Now, I know there was at a time where the Chicago Primitive Baptist Church, we met in front of my father-in-law's house over in Linwood, what's now Linwood on Glenwood Dyer Road. And he got a little schoolhouse and whatever that they were done using. He actually kind of got it for free, and we converted it into a church. And we were meeting there as a Chicago Primitive Baptist Church. And sometimes I'm not a note singer, so I sing from memory pretty much. And some of the songs there, people would ask for songs, and I didn't know them. And my father-in-law said, "Well, why don't we just go ahead and just read it?" And, you know, it's really the words of a song, and so many times the words really speak to our hearts. I like our song service because it prepares our hearts to receive the message that we're going to hear. And this song has really been on my mind. And I just want to read, you know, the verse stanza, first verse stanza. It says, "God has been my refuge daily. God has been my hiding place. He will ever lead me onward. He will take me home at last." Now, the words that we're going to talk about, the Bible verses we're going to go to, should be of a comfort unto us. And when we look at this song and we see, you know, God has been my refuge daily. These words are such a comfort to each and every one of us that, and in each one of these verses, I've been underlining a word. Kind of like when we read the Bible, when we read a chapter in the Bible, we need to kind of like, what are they trying to tell me in that chapter? What's the high point in there? We need to look at that as we read the Bible. We don't need to just really, we need to study out and meditate upon it. So in this one, it says, God has been my, and I underline the word refuge. God has been, and remember I was talking about how in the Bible so many times that the words get personal to each and every one of us. The songwriter has this so that we can relate this song to us. God has been, he says, God has been what? My refuge daily. He's not saying our refuge. God has been my refuge. God's my refuge daily. He's your refuge daily. So I looked up some things. A refuge, what's a refuge? It's a place of shelter where we are safe from danger or trouble. So it's saying God is our refuge, right? God is that place of shelter for a child of God, that we can go, that we are safe from danger or trouble. Now, there's a lot of dangers out in the world today. There's a lot of troubles out in the world today. You know, it's as we look on this, we see road rage. We see all the dangers that are out there. We see with just being at the Boston Marathon can be a danger. Whoever would have thought? The Boston Marathon has been going on for what, over 100 years? It's the longest, it's the oldest marathon. Whoever would have thought, as my aunt brought up, how these first responders were there to put out the fire. Now, you know, being a fireman, you know you're going to be in just because of the nature of what you are, you're going to be in danger. But when they went to go put that fire out, I bet you they never thought what was going to happen. You know, so I went and I looked up some verses. And the first place I want to do is Psalm 46 and verse 1. And we're going to see that the songwriter is what some people might call spot on. He's spot on when it comes to these things. Because in Psalm 46, verse 1, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So he says, God is our refuge. God's our shelter. And he's our strength. And he is what? He's a very present. He's present. A very present help in trouble. He's there for us every day. You know, as the old saying goes, 24-7. 24-7. He doesn't rest at all every day. He doesn't need that sleep. He doesn't need that rest. He's there for us. Because this is what? This is a 24-7 world. When it's daylight over here, it's dark on the other side of the planet. But that doesn't mean they don't need help either. We need it. This is why he's such an amazing God. He's such an awesome God. Because he's helping Brother Mark here. He can be helping a brother. Let's say Brother Guna. He's on the other side of the world almost, Brother Mark. He's in India. I guess pretty close. But he can be helping him over there as he's helping us. This is what makes him so amazing, that he's omnipresent, everywhere present, nowhere absent. So he's there to help. There's one little letter somebody sent to me. You know, the amazing thing is, and I know in this day and age, when you talk about a busy signal on a phone, people kind of like, what are you talking about? You get most people text or whatever, this and that. But when we need to go to God, there's no busy signal with him, is there? When you go to him in prayer, when you drop your knees and you go to him in prayer, he hears your prayer. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night. Has anybody been troubled in the middle of the night? They get up and they pray. I know a lot of us have done that. We get up in the middle of the night and we pray. Sometimes when I'm at work, it's the middle of the night. I pray. But you know what? He's always hearing us. Because he's what? He's a very present help in trouble. And that goes along with, because a refuge is a place of shelter. We are safe from what? Danger or trouble. So we can see that this definition of a refuge is proved out right here in this verse. He's our refuge. He's our strength. In our weakness, what? What does the Bible teach us? In our weakness, we're made strong. We're made strong because he's the strength of our lives. He's the strength of our lives. As we look at these things, turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So we can see again, he is our refuge. If we actually look up into verse 6, it says what? He only is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. When we see these things, what the songwriters put down here, we can go to the scriptures, we can prove the things. This is why I like our songbook so much. Because I believe the men took time to look out good songs that would support what we believe in as Primitive Baptists. And we can see in here, who is to be the only rock in our lives? God is the only rock in our lives, isn't he? There's none other. There's none other at all. He's not only our rock, but he is our salvation. In the New Testament, it says there is no other name given under heaven whereby man, what does it say? Could be, should be, may be saved? No, it says he should. There's no other name given whereby man should be saved. Salvation is through no other than Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. The Bible says, we shall not fear what man shall do unto us. We should not be afraid of that. What does it say? Is it fear him that can destroy both what? Body and soul in hell. We should not be moved. In God. So I, you know, sometimes I think the smaller words are the more important words in the Bible. In God. That means in God. If it's in God, it's in Jesus Christ. And if it's in God, it's in Jesus Christ. It's in the Holy Spirit. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge. All of these things are what? Are in God. In God. Not Dave, not Leroy, not Roger, not anybody else. It's in God. It's in God. Trust in Him. Here's that. There's that little word, in. Trust in Him at all times. We're man. We're fallible. We're not infallible. God is infallible. We're fallible. Trust in Him. Don't trust in me. Trust in Him. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ at all times. He's telling you, you people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Who do we need to go to in times of trouble, in times of trial? We go to Him in prayer and ask for help. And then there's times we go to Him in prayer and thank Him for helping us through that trial, helping us through that trouble. I hope that's what's going on in Boston. That they're giving thanks to God for bringing them through this. To go through these things. Because I know that if it was me living in Boston right now, the only thing that would have got me through that was faith in God. Faith in God. God's going to bring you through all these troubles, all these trials. Has anybody been through a trial in their life? I've been through trials in my life. We know Brother Jeremiah just asked for prayer. You know he's going through trials in his life. I've lost my job a couple times. We went through trials. We have troubles in the world, as we're having trouble with our house. But both my wife and myself both sit there and say, you know what? We have faith in God. That God's going to get us through this. And He's going to help us because He's a very present help in what? Time of trouble. He's there for us. So no matter what, whether they're big troubles or they're little troubles in different things, that He's there for us. And He's going to bring us through those things. Sometimes we just don't know exactly what it is, but He's going to do it, isn't it? We have faith and comfort in Romans 8:28. Because it says, and what? And we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things are going to work together for our good. We might not see that at this very present time, but He does. He works all things together for our good. We can look back in our lives. I can pick everybody out here and say that He's brought us through things. They haven't been good, but it's ended up for good. Can I pick on you, Mark? Okay, Mark. Is it a Protestant Reformed church? Now, Brother Mark will probably say, that wasn't, he looks back and says, well, that wasn't a good thing, right? But He worked that for the good. Because, you know what, I was brought up in the Lutheran faith. I look back on that and say, you know what, I went through some things. I'm not saying it was bad that I was going to church back then. But, you know, He brings us through those things. And He works those things together for our good. So that now we can see the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Those doctrines of grace, the things that we believe in. These are the things that, wow, it should make these things now that we know more sweet and more precious unto us as we go through these things. So we can see how good God is unto us. So the other part in this one, hopefully I'm going to get through this verse stands. I don't know. Okay, so the other part of that, I underlined refuge, but then I wanted to look at daily. Daily. He's there for us each and every day. You know, some people that believe in free will believe that you can fall in and out of grace. We're pretty much once saved, always saved. You know, because why? It's by the grace of God. It's not by the will of man. It's by the grace of God that you're saved. So He's there for us each and every day. All the time. So I want us to look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night. So isn't that interesting? The day at the night. He's going to show his loving kindness unto us in the day. And you know, by the end of the night, we're what? We're seeing his faithfulness to us. His faithfulness to us. And our faithfulness to him as we see those things. So every single day, he's there for us. Scripture I didn't write down. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know. What does he say? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What does that mean? It means he says, Jesus, it's Jesus talking. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. He's what? What the scripture we just read a little bit ago is he's a very present help in time of trouble. Because he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always going to be there for us. As we're going through these, he's our refuge. He's our hiding place, isn't he? He's our refuge. Nope, that's the next one, sorry. He's our refuge for us. He's there daily. Daily. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. If anybody knows Matthew chapter 6, you'll kind of know a little bit of where I'm going to be going here. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 11, Jesus is giving his apostles the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, whatever you want to call it. Verse 11, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say in this model prayer, he doesn't give us tomorrow our daily bread. What is he saying? He's saying, give us what? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the things today, what I need to get through today. I don't need the things I need to get through today. I didn't need those yesterday. I don't need them tomorrow. I need them today. I need it today. Isn't that amazing? I'm going amazing. How amazing our God is and how Jesus is when he says, you know, give us this day our daily bread. I heard somebody speak, and I can't remember where it was. We were at a concert last week. I don't know if anybody's heard of Casting Crowns, but we went to a Casting Crowns concert. And the one guy that's the lead singer of Casting Crowns was talking about as far as the East is from the West. And when God says he's removed our sins as far as the East is from the West, you've heard me talk about this before, you know, God does know what he's talking about. I know that's not a new and novel idea. If I start walking east from Chicago, now let's just say theoretically I can continue to walk. I can walk east from Chicago. I can continue all the way around the globe. When I come back around to Chicago, I'm still going east. I'm not heading west, am I? I'm going east. So the east and the west, what, Brother Mark? Never meet. Now, but it's amazing. If I start going north from Chicago And I get over, what is it? The Arctic is north, isn't it? Antarctica is south. Yeah, okay. It's been a while since I've had geography. So you keep going. When I hit that North Pole and I start going the other way, what way am I going? South. God knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? So, I mean, not that I had to say that, but I mean, everybody knows it. But God knows what he's talking about. So, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, in the book of Luke, it's basically going to say the same thing, but just a little differently. So I want to go there. Look at Luke chapter 11. Now, I like the way, I like the model of prayer in Matthew, but what it says here in Luke is really kind of interesting. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 3, Jesus, the Luke writes it this way, give us day by day our daily bread. A little bit different, isn't it? But it's the same concept, isn't it? Give us day by day. This means that we are daily dependent on Jesus Christ. Daily dependent on Him. Each and every day. Each and every day. We're going to go into Lamentations chapter 3. I'll get there. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Another word from the song, great is thy faithfulness. But they are new every morning. Every morning it's new. Remember I said, we don't need the things of yesterday, we don't need the things of tomorrow. They're new every morning. He's there for us. When we get up in the morning, it's not all the same situations. Even though we're going through the same things. We get up. Some of us, when we get up, we have to go to work. You think it's the same situations, but they're not. It's new every day. It's not, what is the one movie, Groundhog Day? It's not the same every day. It's different. Even though you might go the same way to work, you might have the same route or whatever, but it's not the same. I drive into work every day, and then all of a sudden one day, I have an accident in front of me. It's not the same every day, is it? The things you go through are different each and every day. But they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, because we have faith in God. But He's going to get us through those days, isn't He? He always gets us through that day, doesn't He? That's what's so amazing about Him. The second kind of like little verse I'm going to call it is, God has been my hiding place. So it says, God has been my refuge daily. God has been my hiding place. Isn't it? We look at this thing. See, in the first one, he says, God has been my refuge. My refuge. Now, God has been my hiding place. Now, everybody's played hide and seek or whatever. And when you play hide and seek, like we were up at Matt and Christina's, the kids were playing hide and seek. The idea of hide and seek is going to what? To conceal yourself, right? To conceal yourself of from someone or something. So He's been our hiding place. So He conceals us. It's kind of like almost like a little bit like a refuge, Brother Mark. Because we know that our adversary, the devil, is what? He's as a roaring lion. and he's going about seeking whom he may devour. Remember the book of Job. What did Satan say to Job? I mean, Satan said to God. He said, "Does Job fear you for naught? Have you not built a hedge about him?" That hedge is what? It's concealing him, isn't it? It's concealing him. But even Satan said what? Take that hedge from about him, and if he gets afflicted, he's going to curse you to his face. Did Job ever do that, though? No. Because of the words that are in here. God's his refuge. God's his hiding place. He's going to ever lead him onward. All the words that are in here. That's what helped Job to stand against all those things. How would you like to lose everything, basically? He didn't lose his wife, but he lost everything else, didn't he? He lost all his children, lost all his possessions. What did his wife tell him? "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I can't remember exactly verse word for word, but, you know, shall we not accept goodness at the hands of the Lord and the bad things? Yeah. Shall we not? That's having faith in God, isn't it? Having faith. See, he's there for us, isn't it? He's there. We're going to go back into the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 32. You know, I know I'm going to say something, you might say, duh, but, you know, isn't the Bible just a wonderful book? Isn't it really just a wonderful book? It's just amazing to me that the things that are in here to help us through life. You want a roadmap? You got a roadmap. Right here. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. The psalmist David says, thou art my hiding place. You know, you are going to preserve me from trouble. So we can see why this songwriter is putting these things into this first stanza. Preserve me from trouble. What is he doing? Remember Job, you know, Satan said, you know, haven't you built a hedge about him? What does he say? In here, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Isn't it amazing? He's going to deliver us from all troubles. We've had troubles. We've had trials in our lives, haven't we? Has he or has he not delivered us from those things? If anybody can sit here and tell me no, I can't understand that. Because he does deliver us from evil in the model prayer, Lord's Prayer. Deliver me from evil. He delivers us, doesn't he? All the time. He delivers us with songs of deliverance. Here's a song of deliverance. Now we're singing. We sang a lot of songs of deliverance today. God has been my refuge daily. God has been my hiding place. He will ever lead me onward. He will take me home at last. It's a song of deliverance, isn't it? He compasses about with these songs. We can sing songs throughout the day. Does anybody have just a song from the songbook or whatever just pops into your head during the day? And sometimes you just can't get that song out of your head, can you? And it's just with you through the day. Have you ever thought that maybe God's trying to tell you something? You know, sometimes you ever see the commercials where somebody talks about eating this and that, and then somebody hits should have had a V8. Well, sometimes God goes, listen to me, I'm talking to you. You know, sometimes we don't realize that in things He's talking to us. We have to realize these things. And it's when you're born again, then you realize God's talking to me. It might not be a physical voice that is coming down to you. It might not be like Paul on the road to Damascus God talking to Paul. But I believe firmly that God does talk to us. And it might be that time when He says, "Come unto me." Sometimes you might physically hear that voice, "Come unto me." Like when Jesus, when He talks about, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Come unto me." It's just wonderful. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 114. The psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Isn't it amazing when he puts certain things together in a verse? You know, we know that all this is God-inspired. God inspired all these men to write these things. But when he puts these things together, it's just amazing unto me. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." Remember, he conceals us, right? Shield is something pretty good to conceal you from the enemy, isn't it? But then he goes on. He doesn't just leave that there. "I hope in thy word." Where is our hope today? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in what? The words that are contained in this Bible. You know, Brother Mark's speaking on the book of Revelation. We look in Revelations, that's a hope. That's a book of hope there. You know, I know it's prophetic, but it's hope for the child of God. Because it says that we're going to go. You're going to come through tribulation. You're going to go through all these things. And right at the very end, what does it talk about? The first heaven, the first earth has gone away. John, in the Isle of Patmos, says, you know, what does he see coming down? A new heaven and a new earth. Wherein are what? I think it's righteousness. You know, so that's a hope for the child of God. It's hope. You know, what does it say about hope? Hope that is seen. What is it? You know? What if we hope for that what? And I know I'm not going to get this. If we hope for that what we see not, what does the Bible say? Then, I think it said, then do we what? Patiently wait for it? I believe that's the way it is. I'm not sure 100%. I guess I shouldn't say anything because I'm being recorded. But I believe that's the way it is. But anyway. But we look at this thing. Our hope is what? I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. It's just the next verses, the next thing in this verse was in the song is what? He will ever lead me onward. Now, actually in this one I did a couple of them. My main one was that he will ever lead. Lead. And then the secondary word here is onward. Now, everybody here has heard me talk about the bumper sticker that said, "God is my co-pilot." And everybody's heard me say, "I don't want him to be my co-pilot. He's the pilot. He's in control. He's in control. Like a pilot's in control of the plane. You know, God's in control. That's what I want." We look at it, that he is the one who leads us. He's the one that is leading us. And he's leading us onward. Now, on face value, you kind of think, well, yeah. But onward means we're going forward, isn't it? We're not going backward. He's leading us onward. Because this is an ever-evolving journey that we're going through. It's ever-evolving. And we're what? We're going forward, aren't we? I know sometimes there's things like, well, I take two steps forward, one step back. Well, we're going forward. We always need to go forward. Need to go onward. He's going to ever lead us onward. I'm going to go to Ephesians. Chapter 6. And I'm going to talk about the armor of God. And the reason why I want to talk to the armor of God is if we look at the armor of God, everything is on the front. All of the armor is on the front, which we're going forward. We are never to turn our backs on Satan. We always go forward in there. Always going forward. And that was one thing that really impressed me about this. I'd like to read verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, what? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we can see, you're going forward. You're going forward. Having your loins girt about with truth. What does it say? Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. It's in the front, isn't it? It's not in the back. The breastplate of righteousness. You have what? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You have a helmet of salvation. The helmet covered the face. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. We just talked about our hope is what? In the Word. We have that armor of God. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, if we look, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did Jesus do? He used what? Scripture. Each and every time to answer him. Command these stones to be made bread. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, throw yourself down. And he says, you know, the angels are going to help you. What does he say? We're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. And he said, he took him up into the high mountain, I think it was, or whatever, and said, showed him all the things of the world. He said, I'll give you everything in here. Just fall down and worship me. What he said, what it's written, you're supposed to only worship the Lord thy God. So what did he do, Brother Mark? He used Scripture, didn't he? He used Scripture to combat him, to fight him. He used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He didn't need anything else, did he? He didn't need anything else to fight Satan. Now, we have to understand, in the world today, we can face Satan with Jesus Christ. We can do all things. If you think that you can handle and you can fight Satan on your own terms, you're mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. Because when you do that, you're relying on self. What does he say? Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. If you're leaning on your own understanding and you're trying to fight Satan, you're going to lose every time. You will lose. I can guarantee that. But He's there for us all the time. He's going to ever lead us onward. In the book of Exodus, I'm not going to go there, but in the book of Exodus, what does it talk about? Who led them? A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the cloud stayed, they stayed. When the cloud moved, they moved. Who was leading them onward? God. God was leading Israel wherever they needed to go. God will lead us too. He leads us. You know, why are we all here today? Who brought us here today? Who led us? God. God leads us. There's a song. It's, you know, Lord, lead me on. And it's the words are, when the day seems dark and long, as I pass amid the throng, you know, hold to my hand, dear Lord, I pray. Give me grace to shout and shine ever in the light divine. Lord, lead me on from day to day. You know, and it's just that He helps us. He says, Lord, lead me on from day to day. I want to walk the holy way. Though friends forsake me all alone, I ask Thee, Lord, to lead me on. And doesn't He? He leads us on, you know. In this world of doubt and gloom, when hope flowers fail to bloom, I have put my faith in Thee till the homeland I shall see. When old age is stealing on and my strength is almost gone, surely Thou wilt ne'er forsake till in heaven I awake. Heaven I awake. You know, my next one I'm going to go to, and I'm going to lead into that, is He will take me home at last. And isn't that what it's saying here? You know, when old age is stealing on and my strength is almost gone. You know, isn't it when it says in the chorus, and it says, you know, hold to my hand, dear Lord, I pray. We need the grace of God to live. We need the grace of God to die. Hold to my hand, dear Lord, I pray. You know, surely Thou wilt never forsake till in heaven I awake. You know, and of course it's, Lord, lead me on from day to day. I want to walk the holy way. There's this thing, though friends forsake me all alone, I ask Thee, Lord, to lead me on. When all our friends forsake me, we have one who never leaves us. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He never leaves us. He will take us home at last. I guess I'm not going to get the other verses. I guess I can expound upon that another time. But I'd like to close as that He will take us home at last. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14. And I want to leave you with these words. Now, these are the words of Jesus as He talks. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. What does He say? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That just should make you just smile, doesn't it? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, this is Jesus saying, for you, this makes it personal. He's talking to you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, He says what? There ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Because Jesus has told us what? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I thank you for your kind attention this morning.